Good morning, Cornerstone Bible Church. I'm glad you've come. I know it gets a little old doing things this way, and I know some of you are really struggling because of all that has happened and is happening, and I'm sorry that it's been so hard. But we do not lose heart. God is always in control, and He is doing His work. He is in the process of building His church. That is His promise. And He will bring us back together again, and we will take communion again when He does. It's here, waiting for you, waiting for us, because we are of one body, one faith, one hope, one baptism, one God and Father of all. So keep praying, dear church, and we will hear those words again. Do this in remembrance of me. And in that day, well, we will celebrate. So be strong, be patient, and keep going. Turning your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We are nearing the end of Ecclesiastes, and we are picking it up in chapter 11. We'll start verse 7, and we'll go through to 12, verse 8. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. For the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble. And the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few. And those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut. When the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails. Because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets before the silver cord is snapped and the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Let's pray. Well, Father, as we look at your word now, as we contemplate what lies before us on these pages, and as we seek to apply them to our life in the days that which we are, find ourselves in, Father, we pray for your grace and your help, that you would open up your word to us, that you'd pour your spirit out upon your people afresh, Lord, that we may understand, that we may take courage, we may love you, love one another, and walk in obedience, Lord. I pray your blessing upon your people now, in Jesus' name, amen. Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. COVID-19 should be the alarm clock going off in the morning of our lives to wake us up. What is God saying in all of this? What is He saying to us? How do we interpret what's happening? A lot of things have been exposed as we have gone through these strange days. And as we take a look around, we see how thin the veneer is over our civilization. Just barely hiding all of the ugliness underneath the surface. How quickly selfishness and suspicion can overcome kindness and decency. How capitulation overcomes courage. And we have seen how death can overcome life. We have seen the impotence of our establishments that we think are so strong, as fear often stands in the place where courage ought to be. These past few months have exposed not just our society, but our hearts as well, how quickly and effortlessly God has peeled back that thin veneer and exposed what is underneath. The Bible says that the wicked flee when no one pursues. How much more do they flee when God is the one pursuing? I would say it this way: the Lord didn't send a virus so much as he sent an exposing light through the virus. And people's selfishness, fear, cowardice at times, yes, rebellion and pride all got revealed in the process. Sin, personal and corporate, has come to the surface, and God is calling us to wake up and repent. For the nations to wake up and repent before a holy God to whom they will give an account, with heaven and hell in the balance. And with fear and trembling, I say that we have not seen repentance. We've seen all kinds of activity, but we haven't seen people or governments turning to God in repentance and humility. We haven't seen leaders leading their people and calling out to God in real, humble, repentant faith. For the most part, we've seen the opposite. We see people and governments digging in deeper. We see them pushing headlong into sin, leading their countries into further darkness, and we have seen them taking authority that does not belong to them. COVID-19 is light in a dark place. We thought it was darkness coming into a light place, but we were wrong. It's the opposite. It's light shining in the darkness. We have seen leaders taking away freedom, which they don't even have a right to give, as if it belonged to them, to give to whomever they wish. Much less do they have authority to take it away. There seems to have been a forgetfulness, to put it nicely, of the difference between managing our freedoms in the case of a pandemic, which they ought to do, and in which case we ought to submit, the difference between that and to outright taking freedoms away that they do not own. So riddle me this. During the pandemic, abortion is deemed an essential service. The worship of God is not. Selling alcohol is an essential service. Prayer meetings are not. Private worship at home is fine. The commanded worship in the public assembly is not. You can fill the parking lot at Walmart, walk around, in and out. That's fine. But to have a church parking lot service, well, we'll have to get back to you on that. In the middle of the pandemic, Manitoba announced that it was adding a non-binary option to birth certificates so that you can have your baby be neither male nor female. So denying gender is crucial to public health and the well-being of our society while churches are forced to remain closed. No, we have not seen governments recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ, nor have they bowed the knee before him. Not yet, anyway. Rather, we have seen a further descent into the madness and blindness of sin. That's the general lay of the land today. So in light of this situation, in light of the revelation of the stubborn evil in this world, in that bright, dazzling morning light of COVID-19, a brilliant morning, what is the message to the church? What is the message to Cornerstone Bible Church? Here's a hint. It's not to wash your hands and stay indoors. There is much more going on here than a virus. Purify your hands, yes. Yes, I'm not saying that's a bad idea. Yes, purify your hands, yes. Purify your hearts and minds. Oh, very Yes. It has become clear that our God-given right, not to mention command, to gather for worship is considered completely non-essential in Canada. So not really a right, even though it is guaranteed in our charter. It seems everything is essential these days except for worship. While in truth, worship has always been essential. It is what we are created for. It is the purpose of our existence. It is essential. Public worship matters. The Bible says that it does, and it should pain us. It should pain us when we can't do it. Worship is powerful. Listen, getting together in large groups, greeting one another with handshakes, hugs, and holy kisses, it matters. It really does. Getting together in large groups to worship the sovereign God matters. The public assembly matters. Because while the government holds legitimate authority, they do, and we should submit to them, we should, the church also holds legitimate authority. And let me say it frankly, they need to get out of our way. So how then are we to respond when we are told that we are non-essential? When we are told to wash our hands and stay home? How do we discern what God is saying to us in this time? And that is the message of our passage today. If you look closely, you may find the ink still wet in your Bibles, in the book of Ecclesiastes. And that wet ink has some surprising things in it. It sets the tone that God would have us take as we face tomorrow, as we face our challenges, as we face disagreements of how to proceed. And this tone matters because what we face today is very low-level suffering. Put that in quotes. It's very low-level suffering. And we will need greater strength for when the time of greater suffering comes, if it does. Now, this passage is going to direct our steps on how to move forward. We have in this passage two clear commands. One is to rejoice. The other is to remember. Rejoice, remember. We are told to rejoice in life, in the things that we enjoy, the things that we love. We are told to take pleasure in them, to let them be sweet to our taste, to savor them. Experience the good things deeply and richly. You got to feel it. To enjoy our freedom as human beings made in the image of God. Freedom is a right, more it is a command given to us by God. As a people, we are often way too cool, way too nonchalant, trying to show that we don't care. We should care. We should care a lot. Care less about looking good and looking virtuous, all the virtue signaling that you see. Care less about that. Care more about doing good and being virtuous. We need far more passion in our lives, far more conviction, life, far more rejoicing. And God tells us here to rejoice. So we are told to rejoice and we are told to remember. Remember that our lives are not our own. We have a creator, and we will be judged by him for all that we do, what we enjoy, how we enjoy it, who we thank for it. Our lives are on display before him, and we will be brought to judgment for what we do. So here's the line to remember for the sermon. Remember this. We should be thinking of our judgment as we pursue our enjoyment. That's the sermon in a nutshell. We should be thinking of our judgment as we pursue our enjoyment. Rejoice and remember. Those are the commands. And they are the commands that we see in the bright morning light of COVID-19. So let's take a look at them. First, rejoice. Rejoice. This is the main thrust of verses 7 to 10 in chapter 11. Just skim over Skim over that. And what do you see? Look at what he says. Enjoy the light of life under the sun. Enjoy your young years as best as you can. He's telling you, be cheerful. Pursue your dreams. Go exploring. Put aside worries and cares. Rejoice in the good things of this world while you are young. So young people, I plead with you. Stop spending so much time pursuing the enjoyment of sin and start pursuing the enjoyment of God. I'll tell you outright, the internet is killing you. It is. No, the internet isn't sin. What we're doing here is not sin. But so much of what is happening through it is. The celebration of sin through our viral videos, the endless celebrity gossip. You know, we live in a day where the word gossip is seen as a positive thing, right? Click here for the latest celebrity gossip. Gossip. You want to hear some fresh gossip. It's seen as a good thing. The Bible calls it sin. The Bible says that people go to hell for engaging in it. It's not to be trifled with. We hardly give it a second thought. The internet is killing us. Extreme bloodlust in our entertainment. Movies and video games. The more violent, the better. Look at what we're enjoying. We love to take in violence for the rush of adrenaline. Fornication, adultery, all manner of sexual sin, both virtual and physical. We fill our hearts, our minds, and our souls with it. We will die from it. Mockery of all that is good and holy, looking down with disdain upon the things of God. Boring, we say. We have the gall to call the things of God boring. And I plead with you this morning to wake up. We turn a blind eye to the fact that God sees what we are doing. He sees what we are celebrating. He sees us apply a seared conscience to the sin that we're laughing at, that we're enjoying, that we're getting turned on by. He sees us turn away from the Bible and from prayer, from church, because we find them boring. And he sees us turn to sin because it is exciting to our flesh. A seared conscience is an awful, awful judgment of God. It causes us to forget our Creator, to find him boring, which is a death sentence for those who do. We're told here, people, especially young people, find joy in this world. Even in times of viruses, find joy. Specifically, find joy that will stand at the judgment. That's what he's saying. Young people should be full of life. They should be full of energy and laughter and joy. They should laugh and dance and celebrate. Stop being so cool. You should have some zeal. You should have some passion. Kick a little. Be adventurous and brave. Get out there. Cause a ruckus. I plead with you. Stop being so dull as you live your life online. Right? Scroll, scroll, scroll. Trying so hard to be cool to not care. Disengage. So many are disengaged and are looking on from the sidelines. Don't live your life that way. COVID-19 should wake us up to the reality of life. There is a blessing that comes in times like these. The blessing of waking up to the morning light. Of waking up and realizing the truth about life, that it is fleeting, it's soon going to be gone. And what we do here matters. It does matter. What we do here will echo into eternity, in heaven or hell. Moreover, what we enjoy here will echo into eternity, in heaven or hell. So what do you praise? What do I love to talk about? What do I think about when I'm alone? What fills my mind? Is it passion when it comes to the latest Marvel movie? and then slumped shoulders when it comes to Sunday morning? Is it singing full throttle for, I don't know, Ariana Grande? Is that a thing? Drake? And then mumble when it comes to worship. Cool is killing us. Fathers, I plead with you. Lead your children and your wives into the light. Show them some heat. Show them what joy really is, how to live. We're too cool. Look, under the sun, this world is a dangerous place. Yes, the danger to our bodies is real, as we have seen with this virus. It is real. But I am telling you that the danger to our souls in this time is far greater than any virus. Let the light of the morning shine on your life. Where do you mine for joy? Where do you look for it? Do you look for it in sin with a seared conscience? Or in Christ in the morning light of reality? Are you thinking of your judgment as you pursue your enjoyment? You ought to do both. Joy, true joy, should be the tidal wave that absolutely obliterates our days of fear and timidity and our love of sin. Not anger, not aggression, but joy. That should be our fuel. Not anger, not boredom. Hear the call of Ecclesiastes to joy and rejoicing. Oh, you're going to approach life very differently if your fuel is anger, or fear, boredom, or if it is joy. The Bible is bursting with this exhortation if we would open our ears to hear it. Live! God says, live! Be joyful! Stop your moping and cynicism, complaining, negativity, whatever it is. Put aside your anger. Enjoy your life. Learn how to celebrate. Because it is something that has to be learned. It does not come easy, which is why most people never discover how to do it. The pleasures of sin are often so immediate and they're so intense. The payoff is now. And the pleasures of God are far deeper, they're far richer, they're far better. But they are often much harder to find and harder to maintain. You have to fight for joy and learn how to keep it once you found it. Use the energy of your youth to pursue God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need to abandon the filthy rags we love so much. Don't settle for the deceitful pleasures of sin. Aim higher. Aim higher. Why do we aim so low? Aim for true joy. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart in the sight of your eyes, he says. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Which brings us now to the second command. This is number 2. Remember. Now this is the focus of chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. In this passage, we tend to focus on that wonderful poem. It's a poem about growing older. The keepers of the house tremble, right? The hands are shaking. The sound of the grinders is low. The almond tree blossoms and desire fades. It's a beautiful poem. It's well worth studying on its own, but today we need to remember. Why is that poem there in the first place? What is its purpose? 12 verse 1. Remember your Creator while you can. That's the point. That's why that poem is there. Remember. The day is coming when you will be in pain. So remember now, while the sun is out, before it gets dark, fill your eyes with light before your descent into the dark valley below, so that you do not forget in the darkness what you saw in the light. Now, COVID-19 has brought some much needed light and clarity to what matters in this world. Today, hear this. Now, today, we are young. All of us. We're young again. Praise God. For those of you for whom the almond tree has blossomed, your hair has turned white. Today, you are young again. We have a fresh wind blowing across the land unto a swift sunrise. And it's beautiful. We're young. And in the day of our renewed youth, we are told, remember. Let us remember our Creator. God has created you. He has created us. He has formed you in the inward parts. He knows you from eternity past. He has planned your days. And as a believer, as a Christian, your days are blessed. No matter what happens to you, our God is sovereign over the whole earth. He is the king of the universe, and nothing can stop him from pouring out his blessing upon his people. Our problem is that we forget that. I forget that. And we take our eyes off of our Creator, and we put them onto the things of this world, and we serve them, and we fear them. And fear causes us to forget our God, to forget that He reigns, forget that He is good. But we are told here to remember. Stop, he says, and remember who God is. And who we are, His beloved children. Let us remember that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. How absurd is that? The kingdom of God, which will extend over all creation and into all eternity, it is ours. We are kings and queens. We are co-heirs with Christ, rulers for all eternity. Oh, yes, we are young. We are young. We're just getting started. So where is our courage? Where is our joy in this time? Where is our power? The power of sin is death, yes. And that virus can bring death. Let us never forget our God, our Creator. Death has been defeated at the cross. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, death itself has been killed. It no longer has power over you, whether it comes in the form of a virus or in some other way, through long years into old age. Death is ultimately impotent. It cannot defeat you. It cannot change your destiny to rule and rejoice for all eternity. It cannot separate you from God. It can only be the means by which God brings you into His direct presence and into eternal pleasures. Oh yeah, we should care. We should care a lot. By the cross, death is made impotent, fruitless, pathetic, and weak. It is a slave to the will and the good pleasure of our God. That and no more. Not for us. So let us remember our Creator in the days of our youth, and let us take courage. We should be a people of great heart and great courage, a people of passion and conviction, a people of joyful and powerful worship. Worship is our weapon of war, our declaration of allegiance, a sign of the coming defeat of all of our enemies. And would we be half-hearted in our worship, in our desire to gather together? Would we be weak in our proclamation? Never let it be. Perish the thought. Remember God. Remember who He is. Remember who you are. Remember your destiny. Let fear be far from you, young people. Let fear be far from you, all you gray-haired young people. Christian, we are young. We're strong. We have eternity before us, stretching out into the unfathomable horizon with eternal power and pleasures given to us through the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Now let this truth, this word of God, renew your heart and your strength. That's why we rejoice, because that's what we remember. Let us mount up with wings like eagles. Let us run and not grow weary, press on and not faint. Let us remember, yes, the days are coming when we will grow weak in body. Some of you already know this by experience. I'm starting to. Our bodies will return to the dust of the earth from where they came. Yes, we will die. But as that great saying goes, die all, die merrily. Look at the second half of verse 7, chapter 8, what does he say? Chapter 12, sorry. The body will return to dust, and what? The spirit will return to God who made it, who created it. And what were we told to do in verse 1? Remember your creator. Why? Because our paths lead to him. That's where you are going. So remember him. That's where you are going. So yes, the world is vanity under the sun, but your destiny in Christ is not under the sun, but beyond it. You will rule over it in the presence of God who is making all things new. We are those who were dead, but are now alive. We were the defeated, now victorious. We were the weak, made strong. We were the old, now we are young. We need to remember and to show courage as we face our days here under the sun. In the days of a virus that sent the world into dismay and brought a brilliant light for us to see again, the blind given sight, look and see, rejoice and remember, says the scriptures. Rejoice and remember, says the Spirit. Rejoice and remember, says God. Today we are young, and the sun is rising to a new morning, and lying before us is an opportunity to wake up. To wake up and hear the call to rejoice and remember. Ecclesiastes in a nutshell. Rejoice and remember. Whether you stay indoors or go out, whether you wear a mask or not, whether you get vaccinated or not, we ought to walk in joy and courage. Walk in laughter and power and love and unity. There is no enemy that has power over us now. Whether we meet at home like this, out in the parking lot, out in the field, whether we have to meet in a cave or whether we get to meet here in our sanctuary, we are young and we have been called out from the vanity of the world. We have been called to communion. And though you suffer and struggle, deal with questions on how to proceed, deal with job losses for some of you, all kinds of difficulties, being separated from those you love, though all these things happen, they are painful. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And we need to rejoice. We need to remember that fact. We are not weak. We are not at the mercy of viruses or governments. No matter what happens, good or evil, we live under the mercy of God. And we must live in the light of his mercy, the light of that empty grave from which Christ rose from the dead alive. And so have we, and so will we. So the call goes out to forsake the paths of evil. Make straight paths for your feet. Remove every obstacle. Abandon the paths of sin, the desires of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They are vanity, and they will lead to death. We are surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Elijah, John the Baptist, so many more. They are alive today, young. Moses is young, as we are. They are not dead, as we will not be. So let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. In the days ahead, we will all have to make decisions regarding how we will respond to the reality of the coronavirus. And some of us will choose this way, and some of us will choose that way. Moreover, we will have to decide what to do as a church through it, come what may. We must hear the call to rejoice and remember. Don't let suspicion, your pride, or anything else cause us to forget, to rejoice, and to remember. That's the fuel. Whatever the decisions are that you make, that we make, we need to hear this call. Why? Because we live by the power of God. In this new morning of fresh air and bright light, we are young. We are. So let us today renew our commitment to the gospel, to one another, and to living as those who have been set free from the power of death. Let us shine like stars for the world to see, holding forth the gospel, the good news, that God calls all men everywhere to repent and find forgiveness in him. And he has promised eternal life and eternal pleasures to all who would come. Oh, let us not be ashamed of our Lord, of our faith, or of one another. But let us rise up as a people and face this world with courage, with joy. Let us remember, let us rejoice, all together, all for Christ, for always. Jesus is calling. Who will answer? Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that it would be us who hear the call and who answer. It would be us who go forth with rejoicing, remembering our Creator, knowing how to love one another in a day of tension and disagreements and struggles on what to do. Lord, it is hard on so many of us. And we are left with many questions. Oh, Father, protect the unity of this body, that our testimony may not falter, may not fall, it may not fail. But may we love one another deeply. May we press on with courage. May we remember our Creator and find joy in Him, in You. Father, we long for the day when we are brought back together again to take communion, to worship in the public assembly, as you have called us to. Father, we believe you are bringing that about, and we wait. Our eyes are on you, and we wait. Lord, give us strength in this time. Give us encouragement. May we be a people of encouragement, encouraging one another, pressing on in faith and hope and love. Father, make us and find us faithful to the task that you have given. For your glory and for our joy, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.